grace, mercy, and peace is abundantly yours. May it be your gift again in this divine service. The text is the Transfiguration account found in Matthew 17, which you just heard read. I hope that you looked at the bulletin and there saw the sermon title, The Epitome of the Epiphany. I also hope that you may have asked, well, what does he mean by that? Well, transfiguration really is the epitome of the epiphany. 57 years ago, I was asked to preach a sermon on transfiguration, and it was at a very significant place, and there would be many people there, some with significant education. So I have remembered the title of that sermon. It's the same title that appears here in your bulletin, The Epitome of the Epiphany. Indeed, we just sang the hymn that we sang last Sunday, Songs of Thankfulness and Praise. I asked Christine if we could sing it again today, precisely because the last words are there, God in man made manifest. Really, that's what the Epiphany is all about. The Epiphany is revealing to us. At Christmas, we heard the word that the child in the manger has the name Emmanuel. And that's not just a name, it's a reality. In the infant in the manger, there is Emmanuel, means God with us. In the manger, the eternal God takes flesh. There he is as an infant born to the Virgin Mary. And the Epiphany, the lessons of the Epiphany are lessons that manifest, that indeed reveal to us that this really is Emmanuel, God with us. And so throughout the Epiphany, not when we follow the three-year series. Those of us who for many years used only the one-year series, it was then that the Epiphany lessons really manifested. This is whom we confess at Christmas. Indeed, the first lesson of the Epiphany was when he is only 12 years old and he is there in the temple, and Mary and Joseph come. And it's kind of interesting that Mary kind of doesn't reveal in her words the ultimate truth. He says, your father and I. But his response is, I am in my father's house. I am in my father's house. Not up there in Nazareth with Joseph, but here in the temple which was God's home. Here the cloud indeed revealed the presence of the Eternal One. I'm in my Father's house. So the first Epiphany lesson has the words of the 12-year-old Christ child saying, God is my Father. Indeed, what we say in the Emmanuel, my name is true. I am one with God. And the second lesson in the historical lessons of the Epiphany, we are up at Cana at a wedding. And there's an embarrassment. Did Christ bring all of his apostles, maybe six at that time? Did they drink the wine that now was empty? And Mary comes to him, the last word she ever records that we know, and do something. And then she says, do whatever he says. And then they pour water into these big thing, and it becomes wine. This is not putting food coloring into water to change it, but this is a chemical change. This is the one who was there at the beginning of creation and said, let there be. Here he says, let there be, and water becomes wine. He is the Creator. He is the Son of the Father in heaven. He is the Creator in the second lesson. And the third lesson in Matthew chapter 8, the beginning of 10 miracles in Matthew 8 and 9, and just the first one. I suspect historically they read much more of those lessons to show that this is indeed God in man made manifest. He heals disease after disease, and among those that he heals is one who has died. He is God in man made manifest. And now we come to today, the Transfiguration. It is the last lesson in the Epiphany season. It is the epitome of the Epiphany. We not only hear him speak, "This is my Father's house," we not only see him change water to wine and heal the sick and raise the dead, we see his very glory. He's up on this mountain. And indeed, one of the translations say he just glistened. And indeed, with this one said he is white. Indeed, he shines like the sun. And so that sermon 57 years ago, I said, here we are at the Epiphany. We see him manifested, the great mystery of the incarnation. God becomes man. His glory is there. I'm not sure how much I continued 57 years ago. I should have, because the epitome of the Epiphany is not only in seeing him glistening and white. Something else happens up here. What happens to these disciples there? When they face the glory, when they face the cloud, the eternal one, they fall to the ground. They're full of fear, as well they should be. Man facing God. We read in the Old Testament how indeed Moses' face shone and the people were affrighted because of it. Man before God. How would you feel if you're standing before God? If the Epiphany is manifested here, God in the flesh, and you're there. They fell because of what reason? Because of sin. These were sinners in the face of a holy God. And indeed, the three apostles, Peter, James, and John, are sitting here. No, you're not apostles, but you are the children of God. But you too are sinners. Before the transfigured Christ, we fall for fear because of our sin. Sin does have a consequence, not only separation from God. The Lexicon of Chicago, you may not have gotten it. It was in last week's Sun Times. It has two volumes to it. The second volume, the first 15 pages, has in the lexicon those things that deal with the world of religion in our community and the things that we confront and we speak of them. We speak, it said, of Fourth Pres. That's Fourth Presbyterian, that huge church right across from the Water Tower in Chicago. And then the Baha'i Temple, well, it's out of Chicago in Wilmont. Then it mentioned in the lexicon the word the Rev. That's the Reverend Jesse Jackson. And the Cardinal, that's Cupich. And then it didn't mention a name, but it simply said ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. And it had a picture there of the president, because their headquarters are here in the Chicago and Higgins Road. And it quoted her as saying, indeed, she's not a great fan of hell. And if it's there, nobody is in it. What a thing to say. These disciples, and we need not fear God then, if there's no consequence for our sin. Ironically, in Matthew chapter 25, the last chapter before we begin the Passion of our Lord, the last story concludes with the division of the sheep and the goats. We know what happens to the sheep and also the goats. They will depart to hell. Indeed, Jesus says, because of sin, there's not only the consequence of death, but separation from God, hell itself. Indeed, yes, we should be fearful. But what happened at the mountain to these disciples, these sinners that tremble in the presence of God, that we who also tremble in God's presence, what happened there? Moses and Elijah were talking, and indeed God says, listen to Jesus. Listen to him. We don't know from Matthew what Moses and Elijah were talking about, But if we open the story to Luke, Transfiguration, there's a word that in the modern translations regrettably isn't there. It's they were talking about his exodus. And if I would show you the Greek New Testament, even if you've never read Greek, you could see the word exodus even in the Greek letters. The exodus. They were talking not about Moses' exodus, but about his exodus. And what was that? The exodus of Moses was the ultimate Old Testament event. It does not compare in any way to his exodus. The ultimate event, not only of the New Testament, but the ultimate event of all history, where the eternal God, the one who is here manifested, shining in glory, and we would tremble before him because he is glistening like the sun. Oh, yes, the sun. Oh, there's Beth Lutheran Road in Missouri, which I drive every morning to get the Sun to Post Dispatch. And because of the way I drive, the sun is there. It blinds my eyes. I can't see. I'm in great danger because of the sun. Oh, yes, I too am in danger because of my sin. But when I see the transfigured Christ, when I hear his story, when I hear of his exodus, and brothers and sisters, that's what we're about in the Lenten season, beginning this Wednesday. How wonderful it is that Lent follows the transfiguration, where they're talking of his exodus. Because here during this Lenten season, we will be on that exodus, on that road with Christ, where he is taken out of life, crucified, but on the third day he rises again. I invite you, those of us, and that's all of us, who tremble because of our sin in the presence of the eternal God, indeed he is always there, come with us on the exodus. Listen to him, is what the voice on the mountain says. And we'll hear him speak. We'll go first. We'll be in the upper room. I cannot reveal all that we will be witnessing and hearing in those days, but in the upper room, I will try in the words given to me to describe visibly what happened there, how different it is from what Da Vinci shows us in his picture of the Last Supper. But as we are in what certainly had to be a very humble thing, not at all lit by the gas or the oil lamps there, but there we will hear him. Take, eat, this is my body. This cup, the New Testament in my blood. Within 12 or 15 hours from saying those very words, his body would be hanging on a cross and the blood dripping from his head and then when pierced also from his side. And he says, take, eat, take, drink. This is my body given for the forgiveness of sins. Indeed, that's his exodus for us. And indeed, how wonderfully the hymn that we just sang imparted this. It said that through the washing of baptism, he makes you his dwelling place. Through the bread and the wine, the eternal transfigured one, the one who is God himself, makes you his dwelling place. Come and hear, and not only hear today, but also Wednesday. Receive him as the eternal one who goes to Calvary. Then we'll be with him in the garden. We'll hear him pray, thy will be done. Oh, what does he mean by that? We'll see it that very day as he hangs crucified, the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is what? God will have all to be saved, all meaning you, and we see how he does that at the cross. We'll be with him before Annas and Caiaphas as he is asked, are you the Son of God? And his answer, we hear him, I am. Oh, once again, there he affirms what we see and witness on the mountain, the I am. He is the eternal one. And before Pilate, he is asked the question, what is truth? Because he has just said, if you hear my word, you know the truth. We come here to hear the ultimate truth, which is manifested the next day as we see him at Calvary, Golgotha. And hear the truth, as he says, Father, forgive them. His words. And then the last week in the Lenten season, we once again hear him. He's already dead, but we hear his words just before he died. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. What he said, you too, at your last day can say. Why? The theme of the Lenten series will be what Paul so often uses in Ephesians, to be in Christ and for Christ to be in us. As we hear his word as the Father bids us on the mountain, he implants himself in us. And then we can sing again, God in man made manifest. Yes, in Christ, God is manifest. But when he, through his word, makes us his dwelling place, I pray that God would be manifest in your lives. God in man made manifest as transformed, loving, obedient children of God, you walk and live in a dark world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise to confess the faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,